What is up, podheads? Back with another episode of the Podio Slate podcast. My name is Tony. I'm joined by Anthony and Nate. We are cool, back, baby. The three of us. What is going on, boys? How are we doing tonight?
Feeling good, feeling great, feeling good. How are you?
Ooh, nice. Flashback. Yeah, samesies.
Nice.
Wait,
nice.
You've been gone for a little bit and that's all we get? Samesies?
Hey, I keep it simple these days, you know?
Yeah, man, how you been? It's been a couple months since we had you, right? I think the last episode that we put out was the used one, but I mean, that one we recorded a while back. We've talked to you since then, but it's probably been like 6 weeks. How you doing?
Good, man. It's great. You know what's cool, being kind of a bench warmer on the pod, is getting, a different perspective of the whole...
Wait, secondhand nerdery?
Secondhand nerdery, yeah, like a gold mine in a Goodwill. Like, oh, man. I'm part of this, but I'm getting a different take on it. So it's super interesting to check out the pod as a true listener. You know, I think I text you guys, like, I'm in the gym, I'll play the newest episode. And I'm like, nice. Because I know the whole formula, but it's still fresh because I don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes. I mean, obviously we keep in touch, but it's been great, man. It's been really cool. And I'm stoked that you guys are keeping the fire going.
You aren't a bench. He isn't a bench warmer. Hey, come on.
So, Tone, as if I'm someone who's just tuning into this podcast for the first time, maybe the Corey episode brought you in, how would you relay who Nate is, what his role is?
Well, we started this, the four of us, 4+ years ago, and we've known Nate for...
Four of us? Who's the fourth?
The three of us. We started this, the three of us, 4+ years ago, and we did it every week together for 3.5 years, and Nate just, family life and, you know, jobs and different time zones, it's difficult to do a weekly podcast with three people in three different places. So we have Nate in when he can do it, and he is, you know, co-founder, you know, original member, OG member of the Potty of Slate podcast, and that's who Nate is.
He's got founder shares. He's in the first seed round.
Yeah, I'm playing golf. You guys are still cranking.
Where's
away.
The money? Where the fuck's the money?
There is no money. Sorry, Nate. There's still no money.
Oh, man. Yeah. So we had a great episode last week with Todd Mackey. It was Honor, where he asked us a bunch of questions about how we came to be as a podcast and, you know, our musical come up. And Nate, you were prominently involved in that in name only. We talked about you a ton. And we just wanted to thank him and thank anybody who listened to that one and has come back from that. If this is your first time, go back and check that one out. It'll give you a little more context of who we are. And we've got a bunch of other fun stuff back there, too.
I mean, that's underselling it. There's 213 other episodes.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, there's a bunch of people that you know in the music industry that, you know, have put out albums over the last couple of years or are putting out albums this coming spring back there. I mean, Sonny from POD recently. We did deep dives on Offspring albums and the Used albums. We had Crime Stereo back there with Alex Dunn. We had Tucker Rule Thursday, which I called them putting new music out back in December, and then they put a new song out a couple weeks ago, and it's phenomenal. Go check that out. But yeah, there's a bunch of fun stuff back there.
And I don't know if it was ever a conscious decision to have it full spectrum, but that last episode really showcased that. Like, it really is, like, we'll talk to anyone in the industry, anything even remotely affiliated that has any piques our interest at all, we're in. And it's been a wild ride, man, and it continues to grow.
It is a range, and like, not only music genres, but like label founders. Were fingers crossed gonna have like the founder of a drum company coming up here. Who else? We've had promoters,
tour founders.
I mean,
photographers,
every kind of nook and cranny. We've had authors, you know, every nook and cranny. So, you know, it's the hunt, it's the chase. Do you guys remember the OC?
Oh, yeah.
Cohen's Only About the Chase, Seth Cohen, remember that?
Yeah.
You're Only About the Chase, Cohen.
underrated show. Maybe not underrated. I guess people of our age remember it and revere it for what it was, especially that first season. But it was something, man. That show was something.
Before we get into Corey Glover, if you're here for that conversation, it is definitely coming. Before that, we're going to catch up with Nate. We're going to dig into what we've been listening to lately. What else are we doing? That's pretty much what it is, right?
If you only want to listen to the Corey part, it's the back half of the episode. We'll have probably stuck the timestamp in there. We understand. But hey, if you want to know what we've been listening to, what's been going down in the Podio Slave world, We haven't done this, the three of us, in over a year, I think. Talked wow. about what we've been listening to, what we're digging right now. It might be the end of the 2022 year that we did that. So it's been a while since we've been able to catch up about music. And that was the reason we started this thing. So we're doing it. This is what we're doing today. Deal with it.
Well, I love these because it's just an excuse to either talk about a genre or a band or a record. And it's like, it's just funny how we literally could be listening to anything. We have the Spotify library at our fingertips and we land on something. So it's just cool. And I'm curious what you've been listening to Nate, besides our old episodes, but music wise.
Nice.
Let's start with you, Nate. What are you jamming? And do you want to do round robin or do you want to, let's do round robin.
Yeah. Let's keep the formula, man. A lot of different things because I'm kind of in the industry. A lot of the times I'll kind of, get accustomed to whatever music or bands are coming to the venues that I work at. So sometimes I don't know these artists at all. Sometimes I know a few songs. So I'll check out, and sometimes they're throwbacks. So, I kind of have a little bit of a spectrum. But one that came through recently was this band called Starfucker. It's Starfkr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really awesome. Really great show. Great people. Newest album, Parallel Realms, is solid. Another gym record, play in the headphones and just get it done. But like you said, the spectrum. Like I go from that to some pretty serious metal music that I've actually been able to scope out from you guys.
Hence aren't the they podcast. A legacy band? Like they've been around for a while.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they've been around for a minute.
Well, like how long? Like, I feel like over 20 years.
Gotta be.
Because I have stickers. I have stickers of theirs.
Oh, the Bull Moose Freebin stickers?
Which, that would have been a while ago, right?
Yeah, that's like 03. So we're talking 20 years then. But yeah, they killed it. Great show. Yeah, like you said, the fact that Spotify is just this amazing tool that you can, you know, pull up
07.
Anything. 07, okay, that makes more sense. Allows you to really just deep dive on pretty much anything in any at any time. And Starfucker for me was like, I think I know that name. And then as soon as I started playing them on Spotify, you know, you go like, this is Starfucker, and you get like kind of their greatest hits, and then you deep dive from there. But solid band, great live show. They're on tour right now. I don't know if they're going east from here, but they did a few shows out here. They're coming back in August out here, so that's a routing thing. But
2 million monthly listeners on Spotify. Go figure.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I'm not surprised because that style of music is it just kind of everyone can get into that, right? Even if it's totally. Just background music. So,
yeah, good. Anthony, familiar with them at all, like musically? I don't think I've ever listened. So now I'm excited. Think I've
ever listened. Is it dancey at all, Nate?
I know we've talked about MED3 on here because that crossed our path in radio and the rock world. So it's parallel to that in terms of soundstage right and stuff.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, then I'll dig. That's something to listen to. And I'm sorry it's taken me 17 years, but that's why we do this, man. You never know what you might hear and like and listen from chatting about music with your friends. So if you've never listened to them either, go listen to them, listener.
All right, I'm jumping in. It's just a completely different genre. I'll tease it a little bit. It's actually a band that Alex Dunn of Crime and Stereo referenced when we had him on a couple months back. He referenced their original name and they've kind of been top of mind since then, but it's Matchbook Romance. Their original name was Fizzlewink. they played a show with Taking Back Sunday and who else was on? Do you remember that, Tone?
I
can't remember.
In Maine?
No. Alex Dunn referenced seeing it's when he met that, Christian. Yeah. It was Taking Back Sunday, Fizzlewink.
Might have been Brand New.
Brand New, and it was a hardcore band. I think maybe Sick of It All or something. And or Murphy's Law. I think it was Murphy's Law. And anyway, but yeah, do you guys know Matchbook Romance at all?
I only know the name, actually.
Yeah, they were on Epitaph early 2000s, and I've been on a big early 2000s kick, but I remember getting into them in like 2003, but the album Stories and Alibis, it's like, best way to put it, Taking Back Sunday with an edge. I mean, realistically, or Finch, but more, I guess, TBS with an edge. And I don't know what prompted me to listen to them recently, but I listened to them, and then you get into, you know, for fans of, and I'm like, shit, I remember listening to these guys. And then it's the Wikipedia rabbit hole, but I've been listening to them a lot. So good. Playing for Keeps, Promise, great stuff.
Nice. I saw that you had posted about that and I was like, I know the band. I just don't think I've ever listened to that record. So adding to the nerd homework, baby. And you know, it's fun. And Sean, who is a friend of the pod, who has been on a few times and we've been to shows with. We were coming back from the Super Bloom show back in February, driving home from Boston, and we were talking about like making it a point to listen to stuff that you used to love, like not always getting stuck in the, oh, this is a new thing, I gotta check out the new thing, I gotta check out the new thing. So yeah, I like that you're dialing it back a little bit.
I'll be honest, I've been more on that bag than not, and because usually it's like, all right, you get an advance, or you know it's Friday night, I gotta check out the new stuff. No, I've been dialing it back, and actually I think pretty much all my picks tonight have been old stuff. But Nate, you might have actually seen Matchbook, because I think they played the 04 Warped Tour, the 10-year at Gillette.
Oh, okay.
That's the only time I've seen them.
I always get it confused with the Matches. There's always like bands that have such similar names, like NoFX, MXPX, you know?
Right.
So, and I think, you know, I don't know if you said, I don't know why I got listening to them, but it must have been incentivized from that interview, right? Because you brought it up and you're like, I should check it out.
Could have been. Yeah.
Because that was me with Starfucker. I was like, well, I got to check it out. You know, otherwise, I don't think I would randomly pull it up on Spotify.
I feel like Matchbook, maybe they're doing a tour. They're coming back. I don't know. Something was top of mind, and I think they only have a couple albums, but I got into the first one big time in early college, whatever it was. Nice. But yeah, so we go from Starfucker to Matchbook to
a band that just put a record out this spring that I've been a fan of for a while, and I'm hoping to see them in a couple of days. Restorations. The new Restorations record, self-titled, has been out for a couple of weeks now. And I've been a fan of them since I found, I think, LP3. And I went back and listened to the early stuff and then, you know, have been following along since. And this will probably come out after I've seen them, but I'm hoping I'm going to be down at their show in Boston, just outside of Boston here, in a couple of days. And I've never seen them. They're only playing 3 shows. I don't know how many shows. I mean, I think they're on Fest. I think that was announced today. So they're doing some stuff, but they're not doing a ton of stuff. They're just kind of making it happen when they can type of band right now. But the new record's awesome. I really, if you like them, if you like Gaslight Anthem, I would say they live in that world. A similar vibe, similar delivery, you know, kind of good rock and roll-y punk that's not, it's accessible. So like, it's not going to, you know, blow out your speakers, but it's got some edge to it too. So
is it Side One Dummy Tone?
I think they have been Side One Dummy in the past. I'm not sure. I think this was self-released.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I think you'll see more of that. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So, I mean, Thursday, they just self-released that song. All that
stuff. It's funny. As soon as I said that, I was like, Thursday. And that's one that I've been listening to a lot.
It's a good song. It's really good. But so, yeah, as far as albums go, this one, that Thursday song has been on repeat since it came out, too.
I'll have to check this out. I know this band, and that logo is like cemented into my head,
right? The Sideways cool House logo.
yeah good. So you got me into this band from this podcast, actually. So I remember making content and finding that logo. I'm like, that logo, for whatever reason, it's like solid, like it's like a Nike swoosh, just like I'll see it forever.
Nate, it's that bi-directional value. You show up and then you get rewarded.
Yeah. If only they'd come on and talk about their band. I mean, shit, we've only asked a couple times. I'd love to talk to somebody from the band. If you're listening, guys, and maybe I've talked to you at the show and schmoozed you and it's happening, but who knows? I'm going to try.
You're living in the future? Yeah.
Dude, dial it back to 02 and wait by the tour bus.
I'm going to get down there early and There's try no to catch bus, them eating friend. Dinner.
All right. That's a good pick. I haven't checked it out. I remember you, the new album, you tipped me off to these guys a few years ago. But yeah, I've been in my old school bag, so I haven't checked out. Besides the Thursday record, I haven't, or the song, I haven't checked out much new, but
that's okay. All right, Nate, let's all do one more, and then maybe we toss out, you know, just a couple records we're listening to, just quick, briefly. We don't have to talk about them, but just hit what's on our radar.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, more checking out things that I don't know or I remember back in the day. This is another one that's coming through, I think, in a few weeks or maybe a few months. Souls of Mischief. You remember these guys?
Hip-hop, right?
Hip-hop, retro, yeah. Like early 90s. Yeah, they're coming through again, so been listening to them. Another Spotify, like, man, we're pimping Spotify big time. I guess we're on the platform.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things, like you said, you check them out on Spotify and you go down that rabbit hole, because there's like, if you like this, you'll like this. And you're like, damn, like the 90s really was, especially the early 90s, was pretty, like it was a sweet spot for hip-hop, because it was so, I don't know. You could just—it's just shoe tapping, jamming, you know, riding your car, hanging out, hip hop. It's it's rated PG-13. It's not too explicit, you know?
You know what makes me wonder, though, is all these bands that are, like, getting play now, if they existed in the Spotify era, how much, you know, would they be bigger, or would it be just even more competition, you know?
Oh, man, yeah, good call.
Nerd thoughts. I think
it probably helps, and to tangent off that, it probably helps that they already exist now in the Spotify era, because if they were just coming out now, would they be able to even grab a foothold? Would they make any money off of their music? Like, people had to buy physical goods back then. You don't have to do that now. It's all passive for, you know, a lot of fans. Not us. I mean, that's clearly what we've been doing this for 4 years. But for a lot of people, it's just, oh, yeah, whatever the algorithm throws at me, that's what I'm listening to today. Or I'm just going to pound this Taylor Swift record into the ground, or I'm going to pound this Drake record into the ground. So, yeah.
Dude, and speaking of Spotify again, I think those metrics, they were probably like, you know, let's do a tour. We have this many listeners. We can do at least a club run. Make some money, make some cash. It's not going to be an arena, but enough to sell some merch and sell some tickets.
Yeah, have some fun with it, for sure.
It's a good pick, man. I wasn't sure what you were listening to, if you were taking the breadcrumbs from the episodes you've been listening to, or in your own bag. All right, my next one, it's in the same vein, Matchbook Romance. Do you guys remember Funeral for a Friend?
I know of them, yep.
Another one, I know the name, yeah.
Yeah, they were in that kind of same world. So they released Casually Dressed and Deep in Conversation in, I think, 03. And again, I'm going to throw this out there. We have to do the early 2000s, we'll call it post-hardcore screamo, you know, just like nu metal took off, pop punk took off, then that was the next thing, right? We have to do that episode. We got to find someone in the industry. These guys were definitely in that bag. Like, I think they were on Ferret, and then Atlantic signed them. This record, I think, was co-put out by Atlantic. But if you like the Finch, if you like Alexis on Fire, in that bag. But again, this is one. The algorithm comes up. You listen to Matchbook Romance. They throw Funeral for a Friend at you. And I'm like, shit, I loved the EP, and I loved this record. And then the one after it, Hours, which you guys would probably recognize the CD cover of Hours. It's pretty iconic, and you'd probably recognize it. But this record's so good. It's like early 2000s post-hardcore, very polished. It still has some breakdowns in there. It's got Sing Scream. It's for what it is, it's as good as you're going to get. And I've been wearing it out. Like, it's bringing me back to early 2000s Warped Tour, basically.
We definitely have to do that episode. And we should find somebody or a couple people, maybe even make it a couple of week thing. That'd be a fun jaunt down memory lane for us, and I think probably whoever we could pull in on that. Stay tuned on that one. That's now my wheels are turning. I like this idea.
Well, it'd basically be like a continuation of the Tucker Rule, We're All the Time combo. A lot of those things would come into play, of like,
and integrity, the used record, big label breakdown, right? Yeah.
You know what's also cool about that is it just shows that, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth tier artists in that genre were solid. Like, everyone was putting out quality product, even if they weren't a full-on headliner. Like, don't skip the opener. Like, they're all putting out their best work in that moment. So that was a great time for music. So can't sleep on that shit.
Early 2000s, man. Take me back.
Yeah, right? Hell yeah. All right, I'm going to give you two EPs, because that's a full record. And former guests, the Home Safe EP, we had Ryan Rumchek's on back in the fall. And the Seed Toss EP, we had Max Lajoie of Spitehouse. This is his other project. And both are awesome. Both are, I think they came out on the same day. Yeah, March 1st. Came out on March 1st of this year. Similar but different. You'd like both. If you like one, you're going to like both, I think. And you should definitely check out either band if you have not checked out. I mean, Homestead's been around a little while. They've got some records out. Seed Toss, I think this is the first, like, thing that's been put out with, you know, more than one song on it. And we love us some Max. He was awesome. We had him on back in the fall as well. And excited to see what's in store for both bands, you know, in 2024 and beyond, because they continue to put out cool stuff. And Max in general, like, I could follow Max and whatever he's doing musically, because Spitehouse is one of my favorite records of the last 5 years, easy. And I'm excited to, I think we're hopefully going to see them, right, in late May, Twan. So good stuff there. But both of those EPs are awesome. They won't take you long to listen to. Toss them on.
Nate, you dig Seed Toss for sure. And Home Safe. I think you dig both.
Home Safe I checked out from your interview, but not the other one. But it, like you said, it just adds another layer to the music appreciation. When you get to talk to these guys, you're like, damn, the music's already solid. And then like it's a solid human being behind it too. Just brings it to another level.
And you know what's funny is like both of those tone are kind of but not really side, like for Max, Cetos side project. For Ryan, he's in a few things, and that's when you know it's for the love of the game. You love doing it.
Totally. Yep.
So like Nate, if you have a spin-off podcast, I'll know it's for the love of the game. Basically.
Yeah. He probably has one, we just don't know about it.
Yeah. Nate, if you had a side podcast, what would it be called?
Food analogies 101.
I love it. Yeah.
But you know what I do love about like this exercise? It shows the range. Like that's
yeah.
We talked about it with Todd last week. It's what we like, and that's where it starts and stops, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally. In fact, when we first jumped on and talking about that episode you guys did last week, it reminded me, because I bring my son to the library a lot. It's like when you go to the library and there's like certain books that are like pulled out a little bit, almost like, check this one out. This is like a librarian pick or whatever. It's kind of like that. So it's like the whole library and you just go down every aisle and there's one or two books that are kind of pulled out, almost like catered, you know, for you. Like, skip the line here. Like, this is the cream of the crop right here. So
that's the podcast, man. That's what we do, right?
It is. Cause it's every genre, like you said. Yeah.
So how do you do that in the digital social landscape? How do you pull out the book for people?
I mean, what you're doing right now, or what we're doing, the interviews is kind of like the best thing you can do, is get a first take perspective on with the artist.
I'm just going to old man yells at cloud and say, no one sees anything on the internet anymore. So all the, you know, Zuckerberg and Elon and whoever's running any of the social medias, is everything's throttled. So you're not going to see it anyway. but that's why we're doing this, for the love of the game. And if you did stumble upon this because you like Corey Glover and Sonic Universe, here's some other stuff that you might like. And that's what we do.
Nice, man. Well, other things I've been checking out. This one came out last year, but the new Crosses record that came out last year. Anything Chino,
Moreno
related. That's a good one to listen to. Another one that's like solid background music, but just the fact that that guy can just jump into any project. He's kind of like a our era Mike Patton, I'd say. And then I went down a giant TBS, Taking Back Sunday, rabbit hole. They're coming up here to San Diego relatively soon. So I basically went down their whole, you know, all their records to present. And the interview you guys had was definitely a part of that as well. And then beyond that, dude, to be honest, like you said earlier, Twan, I've checked out pretty much everything you guys have interviewed.
Nice.
Love it,
at
baby.
The gym. Love it. And the fact that it's like perfect gym music is solid, because a lot of these bands I didn't know. And that just shows that like you are awesome. you are pulling those books out for someone like me to find. So.
Nice. Any favorites? Yeah. Any standouts?
I liked Alpha Wolf a lot.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect gym music. You couldn't.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yep. Super Bloom, same.
Ooh, right. Yeah, that's your wheelhouse. Yeah.
Super. I mean, dude, I might have to put that in like a top, you know, record for the year type thing. What else? Do that Crime and Stereo record.
Yeah.
It's like a 10 out of 10 record.
It's rated. It was a perfect album for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a little bit more on the mainstream side of things. You know, when you guys did the interview with Sonny with POD. Super good interview. And I was just blown away by that record, to be honest. Or it's an EP, I guess, right?
No, the new one hasn't come out yet.
Hasn't come out yet, but what's released is like three songs.
Yeah the songs that are out.
A little
the
sampler.
Songs that are cool. Yep.
But just to hear Sonny like sing, I'm like, oh shit, I didn't see that coming. It was almost like a little pop punk emo song. Another thing, just to hear him talk about it and then listen to the record, it gives that so much more to it, you know? So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Thanks to you guys.
Nice. All right, Twan, rapid fire.
I'm going to give a old and a new. In that same Funeral for a Friend, Matchbook Romance realm, Boys Night Out, Make Yourself Sick. It was on Ferret Records. First time I saw them was up in Maine at The Edge in Augusta. They were opening for a little band called Coheed and Cambria.
Wow, nice. Yeah,
in front of 200 people.
Wow.
This was right as their, I think it was their first full length. Make Yourself Sick came out. Listening to that a lot. It's kind of pop punky in that world, but with an edge, right? I mean, that's kind of the thing. And then as far as recent stuff, the new Heavy Hex album, it comes out May 3rd on Bridge 9.
Yeah, soon.
We heard the whole thing. It's phenomenal. It's going to be interesting where that stacks up for album of the year. It's like too early to even, you know, pen it anywhere, but man, it's my wheelhouse all day long.
It's awesome. Yeah, I would agree. And hopefully we can track those guys down in the future. All right, real quick ones from me. We had the boys from Nevermind on NVM on back last spring, about a year ago now. And Austin Steno put out a little country EP.
That's nice.
Singer-songwritery that I really like. Steno and the Cancer Season. Check that out. It's different from the NVM stuff, but it's still really cool. And to see kind of Steno do his thing outside of the NVM stuff. And hopefully those guys are putting some stuff together. I think in DMs they've mentioned they might be. So keep an eye on that. The Velvet record that came out earlier this year, Very Hum Worship, which, I mean, I think we're all here for. Oh, yeah. And really, really excited to dig into that one. I saw that one of our podcast friends had them on, and I was like, that sounds like something I might like, and sure enough, I did. So yeah, that Velvet record, it's called Romance, came out earlier this year. And then Spizzy, Spose's record, he put that out.
Nice.
When we talked to him in early January on the pod, it was going to come out in February, ended up coming out in March. It's really good. You know, he kind of bears all a little bit more than typical and, you know, went through some stuff and came out the other side, and we're happy for him, and the record's cool. So go check that out. What Could Go Wrong, I think, is the name of it. Yep. And it's been out now for a couple of weeks.
It's that range. Man, we got hip hop. We got everything.
Totally. We got it all. I mean, that's why you're here. And we were lucky enough to talk with Corey Glover about his new band, Sonic Universe, and the new record from them coming out on May 10th. And that is the back half here coming up right now. And man, what a cool record that is. I'm excited for people to hear it because it is all over the place and it's got some really cool musicianship, and Corey's voice is phenomenal. And it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, it comes out May 10th. So when this drops, it'll be in a few weeks. But yeah, he's still got the pipes. Corey's just still got him. The record's funky. It's heavy. It's groovy. It's got an edge. It's like chaotic in spots. It takes you for a trip. And we talk about his guitarist Mike a few times in this. That guy is just outside of this planet as far as talent goes. And when you listen to this album, you'll know what we mean. And then the singles are already out, so you already know. But man, it's a good record.
So yeah, let's dig into that combo right here. A good little quick hitter with Corey, about 25 minutes or so. And thanks for checking it out and doing something new with us today. We appreciate you.
All right, Corey Glover, welcome to the show. Yeah. Thanks for coming on with us, man. This is awesome.
Sure thing.
So Corey, yeah, we've been fans since the early 90s when we were young kids, hearing Living Color, and it was over 30 years ago. So this is a real treat for us. I know Tony and I were chatting about this. We're excited to have you on.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
So 40 years in the game, obviously been doing this for a long time, but with something new, with Sonic Universe. So how have you, everybody knows how good those golden pipes are. How do you keep that? How do you sound the same after all these years, man? Like there's got to be some secret, some fountain of youth.
Yes, the blood of virgins. it's basically working it. The more you work it, the better it gets. I would like to think, you know, I'm at the point now where if I'm continually singing, my voice gets better, and it can get better still if I kept up my sort of routine of actually warming up and stretching my body to so that I can get to do other things.
Do you remember the early days of when you really found your voice?
Yeah. I mean, the reason why I sing is basically because my brother could and still can better than I could. And it's just some sibling rivalry thing. It was like, he's not as good as he thinks he is. I can sing just as well as he can. And I kept it up and made it my living.
Can he hang now vocally?
I don't know. I really don't care, because he's my brother.
Did you guys ever perform together in those early days when you're both finding your voice and trying to one up each other?
Did we? I don't think we ever did. I don't think that's the one thing we've never done together, sing together.
Yeah, one thing that we've heard just from other vocalists is just routines change over the years. Like you said, the more you sing, the more you keep it fresh,
right?
A lot of vocalists, like early on, didn't have any vocal warm-ups and things like that. So
yeah, from very early on, I have had this vocal coach named Greg Drew. If anyone's looking for a vocal coach, Greg Drew, look him up. He's been my vocal coach for all these years, and we've been working it forever. And, you know, he's really good at it. And, you know, depending on what we're doing and what kind of, what's in store for me, he sort of preps me for that kind of thing. And he's a really good guy. So I would suggest Greg, G-R-E-G, Drew, D-R-E-W. Find him.
Hell yeah. So obviously it's working. I mean, we've had the privilege of checking out the new record, the new Sonic Universe record, and you still sound absolutely amazing. So
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you don't use it, you lose it. You're using it, and it sounds damn good. So
yeah,
tell us, how did that all come about? You guys were on Chiprocked, you and Mike Orlando. Yeah. How those conversations start to make this happen?
It's like I saw him. He was one of the stowaways on Chiprocked, and I from where I was standing, my mouth was open, my jaw hit the floor. It's like I've never seen anybody play like that, and be really sort of super, super proficient in that genre of music, you know. And I immediately, hey man, glad to meet you. I was with my manager at the time, and we talked, and we sort of talked about the people we knew in common and that kind of thing. And we just kept going at it. And we were just like, look, whenever you're home, you know, I'd love to sit down and do some writing with you. And so he invited me to his house, and we went into his studio in his house, and we worked on some stuff. And the stuff was good. Stuff was really, really good. Just kept going.
That it actually amounted to something, because it's like catching up with a buddy at a party. It's like, hey, let's hang out. And it's like, are we really going to hang out? You know, but it actually happened with you guys.
We actually did hang out. We actually did. You know, he lives in Staten Island, and so does Vernon. So I kind of killed two birds with one stone.
When this is all kind of in its early stages, were you looking for a project, or was this like, this is too good to pass up, we got to jump in?
It's too good to pass up. We struck lightning immediately. Like, we got to it immediately, and it sounded really, really good. And it was like, this is too good to pass up. Just got to figure out what to do.
When you brought in Booker and Taekwon, was it like, what was the message to them? Was it, hey, I got something, like, you guys want to be involved in this, or?
No, we basically was like, you hear this, you got to hear this. You know, Booker has been in my solo bands. He's been in Vice and a bunch of other stuff that I did when I struck out on my own. So I knew he would be down. I knew he could pull it off. Taekwon is from the band Sworn Enemy, and he was, you know, he's super proficient and just what we needed. And he had the chops to live between both worlds, you know, my world and Mike's world.
Yeah, he brings that edge. Yeah, he's good. I like Sworn Enemy. Liked them for a while. Seen him a bunch. And
yeah,
I mean, it's like a who's who group here. It just it does come through in the music. Like, you can hear all elements of what everyone brings.
Mm-hmm. You know, Taekwon's in a metalcore band. You know what I mean? So he has that, that comes through. And, you know, Booker's just a journeyman bass player. He's played with everybody. And you know, he can handle it all. So it was great.
So all these different kind of flavors, all these different cooks in the kitchen, was there was there a sound you guys wanted to go with, or was it all just kind of organic and that's how you ended up where you ended up?
It's pretty much organic. It was like, but obviously it sounds like Adrenaline Mob and Living Color got together and had a baby, and it turned into Sonic what it is, you know.
As the sounds coming together, whose idea was it for the name? Because the name fits perfect. I love the name. It just works,
you know. On behind the scenes shit, they wanted to call it something. They wanted to call it Corey Glover something. And I was like, no no, because it's not about me, it's about Mike. You know, this is Mike's production. This is his thing. And what I originally wanted to call it, you never know, the next record may change the name. I wanted to call it Mr. Universe, because, you know, people don't know this, but Mike's dad was a bodybuilder. It was like, like competed for Mr. Universe. And I just, it's like, so sort of like an homage to Mr. Orlando. But so I was like, Universe, something Universe. And it's like, it's not going to be Corey's Universe. That's out. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And Mike's production company is called Sonic Stomp. So I was like, Sonic Universe. You know, and I know it's a video game, but fuck it. I like it.
I like it too. I love it. I
can see it on t-shirts, can see it on records. You know, it's right. Perfect, man.
Right.
So you guys are, you're vibing, you're playing music. You've got the name, which is an awesome kind of, everything's starting to come together. Now we got to make music, got to put a record out. About when did you start doing that? You know, really bearing down to make the record?
Right after we did Shiprock, we went over to his house and we started writing. And we started coming up with some stuff. And then the pandemic hit. And then we obviously had to stop. And then we started up again. And then eventually we just kept working until we got enough for an album.
Well, the album's great. We've listened to it. I've probably listened to it 5 or 6 times. It is what it is. It comes out May 10th.
Yes.
It's funky. It's groovy. It's got a bite to it. Yeah. It's chaotic in spots. Vocally, absolutely, you're untouchable. And I don't know if you look online a lot, but I poked around online. The buzz is crazy. If you read YouTube comments, it's like, damn. Yeah. I don't know. Do you get into that at all?
I don't read them. I hear people talk about them, but you know, if they like it, I love it. You know, it's and we're having a good time, which is most important, that we're actually enjoying ourselves when we're doing it. And it shows on the record.
Hell yeah. No, it definitely shows on the record. I remember talking with my wife about having the chance to talk to you, and a really good friend of ours, Rob, too, does radio up here in Maine and has been doing that stuff for years. And he's like, oh my God, right, you're talking to Corey. I can't. That's so awesome. Can I join you? I wish it was that easy, man. But everybody that's heard anything from you guys so far is stoked on it, which is amazing. That's got to be an amazing feeling. Even after all these years and kind of seen it all, done it all, that's still got to be pretty cool.
I mean, we've been, it's hard, you know. Adrenaline Mob has its fans, has its people who know what they do and how they do it and are used to hearing that kind of thing. And, you know, Living Color fans are Living Color fans, you know. So we are, I'm very pleasantly surprised that people are enjoying this. Because, you know, there's some things where people are digging it, but it doesn't do it. Nothing. It doesn't mean anything. I did that project with George Lynch. I did it with George, and it was critically acclaimed. We were digging it. It was fun. It was gonna do. This one seems a little different.
Well, it is different, and there's range too. Like on the closer, you just put on a clinic. Beautiful Disunity, and then you get like Whisper to a Scream, which is a slower track, but you still can flex on vocals. So that must be fun.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about any song is that you have to feel it. You have to be able to live it while you're doing it. And I've tried very hard to. It's the actor in me that I have to, you know, you have to find your motivation in that.
How long have you been doing it that way? From the start?
From the very start. I never didn't. It you know, it's a growth sort of thing. I don't get Freudian on you, but you have to dig deep into some shit and really pull out things that you may not want to see, but you definitely need to hear.
Yeah, because there's plenty of people that don't do it that way, but right, I think you can tell. And when you know some of your pop music nowadays is just, it's formulaic, but not in the case of I think music like this, where you're getting something real and there's right, a vibe and there's a feeling, and it's coming from not just you, it's coming from all of you guys in the band on this record, I think. So
I agree. I'm very happy with it.
Were there any parts in the creative process where, you know, Mike's doing his thing and you're like, how am I going to sing over this? Or like, where do I take this vocally? Because he just goes in.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to match whatever Mike Orlando is doing, it's a task. You got your work cut out for you. You know what I mean? Like you hear those solos, you hear those riffs and you go, how the hell am I supposed to keep up with that? You know, I don't know how, but I try. It's okay to scream a lot. You'll get there.
And you did. You definitely did. So
I did. But I trimmed a lot.
But it's awesome, man. It's awesome. Yeah. It gives the whole record on the whole. We love it. But love Thanks. Hearing I Am, love hearing the single there, the first track. Mm-hmm. It gives you a real good kind of feel. This will probably come out before the record's out. So telling people, hey, get ready, go listen to it. This song will get you there and kind of give you kind of the flavor of what's going on here. But was that one always the clear kind of first song I want to put out, show people what we're about?
Well, it was the first song we wrote, actually. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of like a declarative statement that it was, you know, for whatever reason, I think that myself and Mike are severely underrated and overlooked in certain places. You know, yeah, I was the 70 greatest rock singers in the world, but that doesn't mean shit. I think that there are lots of people who sort of forget that we still exist to a certain degree. And this is sort of like telling them, yeah, we're still here, by the way, here I am, you know?
Yeah, and just because you've been around for however many years, you know, 10, right. 20, 30, 40, doesn't matter. You know, we can still do it at a high level.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I almost feel like that's almost an element of like maybe the title of the album. It is what it is. Like,
it is what it is.
Right now, right here, it is what it is. You're witnessing it. And luckily for you guys, the product is amazing. So.
No, good. I'm glad y'all like it. I'm glad. I mean, we tried really hard. And, you know, we would sit in his studio for hours just going over stuff and seeing if what works and what doesn't work and getting to certain points and just writing and continuously writing. And I can't applaud Mike Orlando enough. He's one of the most amazing human beings I've ever met in my life. Really, I love him.
That's awesome. So you started this technically before the pandemic. So it's been kind of going on for in the vicinity of 5 years, 4 or 5 years.
4 years, yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a bunch of stuff that's, you know, ready to go for another record? You guys, how much writing did you do?
We didn't enough. I mean, it was plenty. Enough to make an album. We would start with this. Let's be here first and then go on from there. I don't think it'll take as long to make another record, but you never know. Are you familiar with how long it takes Living Color takes to make albums? Yeah.
Right. You just never know. Yeah. Yeah.
You never know.
Is that so? That's, and I just in talking to you now for 20 minutes, that must be, that's by design. You're doing it till it's done. You're not right. Like, oh, we have a timetable. It has to get done in 2 years. No, when it's done, it's done. That's when we'll know. And that's when we'll get it out there.
Exactly.
Any vision for the live with this? Because these songs would like, it's not like Turn a Blind Eye. It's got that heavy groove and My Demise. Mm-hmm. It's got the, it's just heavy and crunchy. It's like these would crush live. Is that on the horizon at all?
Or for us to play, start to play live, you know, because, you know, we played a little bit once and it was like, oh, we got to stop. We have to stop doing this or we're going to fuck something up. I feel like we need to figure out when and how we're going to play this live. So I'm waiting. My schedule is ridiculous and so is Mike's, but I'm trying to get to a point where we have enough time for us to rehearse and go out and play this stuff.
Any place that you think you want to bring it to? Is this like a bring it to Shiprock situation, or is this a bring it go on tour?
I'd love to go to do Shiprock, but I think we're gonna probably play a few dates locally, like see what happens in the New York in the tri-state area, and see what happens.
Anything in this album where you wrapped it and you're like, shit, guys, like we just did that?
Well, no, if I could go back in and change a bunch of stuff, I would. There's stuff I've heard, I'm listening to right now, Beautiful Disunity. I was like, I could do something else. It's right there. I could fix that. But I can't. It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you do that with everything you put out? Do you always tinker in? Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Always. We were tinkering up until the point we had the master this record, and that, which was a couple, like about 4 or 5 months ago. So, yeah.
I think to be successful, I would think you almost have to have that mindset where otherwise you're just complacent and you're not looking to push it. You guys definitely pushed it with this one.
Absolutely. I mean, which was important for us was that when we finally were done, that you could say to yourself, you could feel accomplished. You know what I mean? So that was really, I can't say enough good things. And I blame it all on Mike Orlando. Mike Orlando is the one. Really
nice.
Really is.
So you're thinking about, you know, playing a couple local shows.
Yeah.
Has anybody, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but has anybody reached out to try to book you on any of those kind of bigger festivals like Rockville or Louder Than Life? You guys would fit in those places. That's why I asked. Yeah.
No one is. I haven't heard anything just yet. No one's. I'm sure that the management is looking around to try to find a place that we could, that we would fit. But I haven't heard anything personally.
Man, Corey, we get so many questions. We could take this. It's like, but we're excited for you guys because I think once this hits, people are gonna love it.
Yeah. I'd like to think so. You know, it's good to have these kind of options. You know, Living Color is, we've been out with Extreme right now for the last 6 months, 7 months, and we're gonna try to finish up as much of that as possible. We're going up into Canada in September, and then we're going to South America in October, and hopefully when that's done, when that's finished, we can, Sonic Universe can go on the road and do some dates. So I can't wait, and it's good to have those kind of options. Like, you have something that's already established and successful and doing well. By the way, we're putting out we're trying to make a new record right now. So who knows what that's going to be. But, you know, you have this other thing that's equally as exciting to deal with.
Nice. Yeah. So you're super busy, which, you know.
I can't beat that. Can't beat being busy, because that means the light is on.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you probably like that, right? I mean, staying. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I'd rather be home, personally. I mean, if I could do this from home, I'd do it. We just got off the road with Extreme for like 2 months, and I think that's the longest we've been on the road in over 10 years. So
wow,
it was like, I am exhausted. So it's good to be home. I'm glad to be home.
Well, and then you got to talk to a couple of idiots like us in Maine about the new record.
No.
We appreciate your time for sure, man. It's especially as busy as you are. I mean, if you're just getting off tour, you probably just want to like kind of lay low, rest your laurels for, you know, at least a week or something like that. Give yourself a little break, but there's no break.
It'd be nice, but, you know, sometimes I relax working, you know, this just feels good. Sometimes it feels real good to be able to work, you know.
We got anything else, Tony?
No, anything that we didn't hit that you want to throw out there, Corey?
Just that, you know, Mike Orlando's a bad motherfucker. That's all.
Yes. Well, so are you. So are you.
Well, fuck me, but, you know.
The song's not out yet, but My Demise, at the end of that, it's like, I don't know if I've ever heard anything like that on guitar.
Me neither.
Nice. And you've been around, my friend. Yeah, it's, I was like, how? And then, like, you know, talking about live show, I'm like, man, to see that live in front of me, it would be an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, and, you know, for whatever reason, he doesn't really shit. He doesn't practice. It's sort of like it's just whatever comes off the top of his head. Jesus Christ, how? You know?
Yeah, just innate. Just one of those things. He picks it up and he knows what he's doing. He can feel it. It's amazing when you find those people and then you can actually create with them. I'm not a guy that can do that. So to hear you talk about it makes me excited because I've seen it done. But I don't know how. Right. I don't know how anybody would pick a guitar up and be that amazing, or pick up a bass or pick up drums or sing, or, you know, and be as amazing as all you guys are. So cool stuff.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I can't wait just to sit there to be able to watch that go down.
Well, hey, this, you linking up with him was meant to be. It was a serendipitous moment. And you didn't know him at all before Shiprock?
No, I had never met him before.
Wow. The stars aligned. You both in the same ship. You both happened to chat with each other.
Yeah.
And you hit it off. Chance to work with Corey, like.
Yeah, man, this is the best. This is the best. And that's why, you know, been doing this, you know, been working this whole press thing the last 3-4 days. And I can't tell people enough about how much I really appreciate Mike Orlando.
Awesome. Cool. Well, hey, we'll get you out of here. We'll give you a little bit of time before your next one. We appreciate, you know, talking with us today. We're excited for the Sonic Universe coming at us here soon. It is what it is, out May 10th. And, man, all good things to you guys.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure, Corey. I'm glad. It's always fun we can chat with a legend. It doesn't happen often, but here we are.
Thanks, y'all. Thanks, Corey. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to Patio Slave. We are at Patio Slave on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of the places that you can find us on social media. Facebook, Patio Slave Podcast. YouTube, Patio Slave Podcast there. Email us at patioslavepodcast@gmail.com. And hey, if you want to become a supporter, click on the link at the bottom of the episode and give us a dollar, give us $5. It keeps the lights on, keeps us going. We really appreciate that stuff. Thank you.